Sometimes I wonder if, well, actually, I'll say it this way. Years and years ago, I used to wonder, because my mother was my father's third wife. He had a drinking problem, and as a result of that, it kept the family in financial deprivation almost on an ongoing basis. And I had a bedroom, and my bedroom was right next to the kitchen. In the kitchen, they had a little breakfast nook area where they, where we ate breakfast. And my mother and father would go with each other. And I used to listen to that, and I put my ear up against the wall to hear. And I used to wonder, am I really their child? And then they told me I was born on a certain day. And in the natural, I expected when I got to be the age that I will be a couple of days from now when I have my birthday, that I would feel a lot different than I'm feeling. So I thank God I don't know what it's supposed to feel like to be the age I'm supposed to be. Praise God, but I don't feel any different. God is my witness, other than the few challenges that I've had physically that I had to deal with, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel like. I feel great. Wonderful. I don't know. So anyway, we'll turn in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, if you please, and we'll get started. Mark chapter 11. Now, as some of the membership realizes, there were some issues that occurred in recent days that were of a negative nature. The fallout from that, to some degree, came to my ears in reference to some people, have no idea who, but some people that had some very negative views and comments, unfortunately, about the issues that arose. And it was even heard, or I heard, that there were some people that felt like the situation deserved, or the persons in the situation did not deserve to be forgiven for what apparently had occurred. So I got to thinking about it. This is the last Sunday of the year, and we're getting ready to go into a new year. And when we go into a new year, we expect some new things to occur. So we have to be careful that we don't drag in the new year, a lot of the old year's stupidity, and whatever. So I want to deal today with unforgiveness. Okay? Now, you know who you are that made comments, or even now have in your heart unforgiveness about certain things. That's between you and the Lord. But I do believe that it is my responsibility to at least remind you, put you in remembrance, so that you don't hang yourself or give Satan place in your life by virtue of your violation of scriptural principles. The enemy can only come in when we open the door and give him a guilt edge invitation. Apart from that, he has no power at all. You ought to be able to figure that out with one half of your brain. Because if he could do indiscriminately whatever he wanted to do, he'd kill us all. We would not survive 24 hours. He'd get rid of us right away. So we have to be careful. Here in Mark chapter 11, beginning with the 22nd verse, it says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God," or literally, as some translations have it, "have the faith of God," which I believe is more accurate. Verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. At that point, most people say, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. But they don't always keep on reading. Verse 25. And Jesus goes on to say, whenever you stand praying, or lying down praying, or sitting down, it would all fit the same thing. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So my statement to you would be, he that is without sin, you throw the first rock. Okay? You throw the first stone. Now, these two verses, verse 25 and 26, are extremely important because they lay out for us the conditions upon which God the Father will forgive us personally for our transgressions. Look at it again, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may, that word may implies permission, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So your forgiveness is predicated on your forgiving. So you just want to be careful and be sure that you don't have anything in your heart against anyone. Because your lack of forgiveness hinders the Father for forgiving you. That's important to understand. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Unforgiveness. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want my forgiveness from the Father hindered by my unforgiveness of you. So I made it up in my mind a long time ago when I found this out. I don't give a care what anybody does to me or says about me that's negative or won't forgive me for something they perceive or thought I did or didn't do. Man, I turn it loose. I don't hold nothing against anybody. And I've had some people do a lot of stuff to me over the years in ministry, say a lot of things, and I just shine them on and say, Lord, forgive them. I don't let that stuff resonate in me so that I'll have a problem with my forgiveness. Because as perfect as I am, I have found myself how I have no idea making some mistakes. I don't know about you. I know y'all are perfect, but I'm sorry to say, every once in a while, a few flaws arise. So I don't want anything hindering me. So I don't hold anything against anybody. I've had people write about me, lie about me, all kind of crazy stuff. Man, that's on them. Talk to the hand. I will not let that stuff. It doesn't bother me. I learned something when I was a real little kid, and I didn't know at that time that it would have anything to do with my life in a future day. It says, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. A little simple thing, but that's the position that I take. Unforgiveness. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, if you ever say I have it. All right. Look at verse 9. It says, in this manner, Jesus is speaking. He says, in this manner, therefore, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, Father God, here it is again. Father God's ability and opportunity to forgive us is based upon our opportunity and willingness to forgive one another. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, look at Luke chapter 6. unforgiveness. You don't want to drag that garbage into the new year. It's not worth it. All right. Luke chapter 6, if you have it, say, I have it. All right. Jesus again is speaking, and in verse 37 he says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So the opposite of that is also true. And that's what we have to be careful about and concerned with. Let me read that again. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Now, understand this. That doesn't negate the responsibility that those in leadership have to take care of issues that need to be resolved in the context of the body of Christ or perhaps in a local church. But that's not judging. That is taking oversight over situations that need to be remedied. But just to find fault with somebody, to judge somebody, that's what that's talking about. Okay? So he said, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. So the opposite's true. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And I don't think you need that. I know I don't. All right, let's look at something else. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, unforgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have it, say, I have it. All right, look at verse 32. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, speaks and says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Because we have to remember that when we came to the body of Christ, or when we came to Christ to receive Him as our personal Savior and Lord, He had to forgive us all the garbage and trash that we committed up till that time. So how dare me not to forgive you? And how dare you not to forgive me?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Look now at Colossians chapter 3. Unforgiveness. That is a commodity you cannot afford. Colossians 3. If you have it, say, I have it. All right, look at verse 13. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, that's pretty direct. Unforgiveness is a trap. Forgiveness is a habit. Now, let's ask a very important question. How far do we take forgiveness? Concerning the issue of how often God expects us to forgive, Peter asked Jesus about this issue in Matthew 18. Go there now, please, Matthew chapter 18. How far do we take this thing? I mean, after all, should there be a limit on, you know, how often we put up with one another and forgive one another? I mean, how far do we take it? You know, we don't want to be fanatical about this. Or do we? Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 18, if you ever say, I have it. All right, look at this. Verse 21. Then Peter came to him, that is to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, Peter thought he was being magnanimous. You know, I mean, hey, come on now, seven times, you know, how far do we take this? But then in verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, let's look at something else and put two things together here, and we'll understand better this 70 times 7. Keep your finger right there on Matthew, but go to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Luke 17. And what we're seeing here really is how the Father God sees this forgiveness and unforgiveness situation. Because he's the one that we're reading about, giving us instructions as to what we ought to do. Okay? All right, Luke 17, if you have it, say, I have it. Look at verse 3. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, we need to be told when we screw it up and when we mess up. But that doesn't mean you hold it against the person. But they need to be warned, and the purpose of that is so they don't do it again and perhaps do something worse and get themselves in a lot of trouble. Verse 3 again, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And verse 4, if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, putting Luke and Matthew together that we just read, this is incredible. It translates out to this. 490 times a day. That equals 3,430 times a week, which translates into 52 times a year, which equals 178,360 times. If they would say, as they would say in the country, that's a heap of forgiving. That's a lot of forgiving. But that's how important it is to God to bring it to our attention. Now, look at another example. Matthew chapter 18. Unforgiveness. You really don't want to go there. Matthew chapter 18. If you have it, say, I have it. Now, here's another illustration. Look at verse 23. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Wow, that sounds familiar. Verse 30. And he would not. He would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers, and until he should pay all that was due to him. So, Jesus says, so my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, think about this. This parable that we just read illustrates 3 points. 3 very crucial and important points. Number one, the mercy of God. Number two, the liability of unforgiveness. And number three, how far some of us have to go to get our act together. I'll give you that again. The parable that we just read about, the 1 denarii versus 10,000 talents, that little story, that little parable, it illustrates 3 points. Number one, the mercy of God. Number two, the liability of unforgiveness. And number three, how far some of us have to go to get our act together. Now, let's look for a moment at the stories we just looked at, but let's look for a moment at these two words, denarii and talents, just as a, for instance, the King James Version, because what I just read was from the New King James, the King James Version renders the word pence, talks about pence. It renders it denarii or denarion, and it comes from a Latin origin. Translated, denarius equals 1 penny. A talent of gold, for instance, a talent of gold equals 1,025 ounces. 1,025 ounces is a talent. Now, using gold, for instance, and it fluctuates every single day on the world market, but let's just use a base figure of, let's say, $800 an ounce for gold. That would be 820,000 ounces times 10,000 talents. That figures out to 8,200,000,000. So when God the Father asks us to forgive one another, it amounts to a penny. When he forgives us, it amounts to $8 billion. And you have the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to refuse to forgive your brother or sister, when look how much God forgives us. Go again to Ephesians chapter 4. So let's look at something else. You know, when you put it in those perspectives, you know, it the little bit of stuff. That we hang on to is just not worth it. It's not worth it. Now remember, we're reading and have read thus far what God says about us forgiving. I want you to keep that in mind, because I'm going to make a point in a few moments. Now Ephesians chapter 4, If you have it, say, I have it. Now, look at this again. We looked at this verse a few moments ago. Verse 32 says, Paul says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as. Which means like, you know, just like, even as, just like. He says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just like God in Christ forgave you. That's a comparison between us and God. But then someone says, but apostle, you don't know what they did to me. I know, and I don't want to know. But think about this. I may not know what they did to you, but God does. And he's the one that told you to forgive. So what's your excuse? Suddenly now you have lockjaw. Paralysis of the brain. Go to Romans chapter 12. Unforgiveness. You don't want to drag that into 2013. It's not worth it. I don't give a care what they've done. I mean, I really don't. Like I said, I mean, we shouldn't care. I know they did. I know they did you wrong. I know they talked about you. I know they did some stuff. They lied on you and all that kind of stuff. But it's not worth it to hold it. Because God knows what they've done. And in due season, they will reap what they have sown. But, you know, it was bad enough that they lied on you. It's bad enough that they said bad things about you. It's bad enough that they did certain things to you. But don't compound the situation by putting yourself in the position of not forgiving them. I always say it like this. You know, if I walking down the street and I come to a piece of property that has a fence around it and the gate is open and there's a dog in the yard and the dog comes out and bites me. Well, you know, I could have the dog killed, could have the dog spayed. But that's the nature of a dog. So my policy is, leave the gate closed, leave the dog in the yard, and don't go in the yard. But you don't have to kill the dog. Stay out of the yard. And he can't bite you anymore. Woo-hoo! So you have some people like that. You have doggy natures, doggy attitudes. Well, just stay out of the yard. But don't put yourself in a bad position by not forgiving their doggishness. If there is such a word. If not, I just coined it. Hallelujah. All right. Did I tell you Romans chapter 12? All right. Verse 19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. But rather give place to wrath. You know, because sometimes you want to rise up in your own defense. You want to take them out. In love, but you still want to take them out. He says, no, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Nothing goes unnoticed by your heavenly Father. You know, you don't have to be concerned because they did, you know, they didn't do what they were supposed to do or they did what they shouldn't have done. God knows that. You know, he'd take care of it. Just be sweet. Stay sweet. And stay out of the yard so they can't bite you again. You know, because that's the nature of the dog. See, forgiveness doesn't mean give license to somebody to do the same thing to you that they did before. Use your stupid head and stay out of the yard. And the dog can't bite you because that's his nature. He's a vicious animal. You know he's going to bite, so don't go in the yard, fool. And I didn't call anybody's name. Unless your mama names you fool, then don't take offense at it. Amen. Now, know why it's calling me a fool. Oh, well, that must be your name. All right. Now. So, look what they did to Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Look what they did to Jesus. Nicest man that ever lived. Look at what they did to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4. If you have it, say, I have it. Look at verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." In all points. Now, I've said this in years gone by in different teachings, and I know that everybody can't handle it or deal with it, but either this statement is true or is false. You know, if it's false, I can't change it. If it's true, I can't change it. But it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize," or literally empathize, "with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus had to be tempted to lie. Because if he wasn't tempted to lie, then he's not tempted in all points like I are. Or you are, right? Come on. He was tempted to steal. He had to be. I know. See, people get upset. I wouldn't say that about our Lord. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. He was tempted in all points like we are. How are you, or how have you been tempted? He had to be tempted to fornicate. Now, see, if you don't get that, you say, "Oh, my God, I would never say that." I know it. That's why Jesus didn't call you to minister, because you couldn't handle it. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about it. But that's what it means. It says, in all points, I've been tempted to fornicate, so Jesus had to be tempted to fornicate. I have been tempted to lie, so Jesus had to be tempted to lie. I have been tempted to steal, so Jesus had to be tempted to steal. That doesn't take anything away from him. Actually, it puts him even on a higher pedestal than he already was, because not only was he tempted, but he never yielded to it. But this is the way it is. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Unforgiveness. I said it before, I say it again. You don't want to go there. It's not worth it. First Peter chapter 5. If you have it, I have it. Verse 7, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." So if I have cast my care on him, then that means him has it and I don't. So since I'm free, how does a free person act? Then that's where faith comes in. You got to act like you were free. If you were free, how would you feel? What would you think? What would you say? Are you following me? Yes. Casting all your care. I learned to do that years ago. So that's why I cast all my care. I have cast it. I cast it daily, whatever may come up, because every day brings something new. The devil is always alert and around, trying to sniff and find out who he can bite, whatever. So I keep stuff, I cast it all on the Lord. I don't care what nobody does or what they say. I've said it before. I don't mean to be facetious, and I don't say it to be funny. You can say whatever you want, talk all you want, just don't put your hands on me. No, I'm serious. I will get you off. If you think not, try me. No, I will get you. I know how to get you off. But, you know, I just, all the stuff, all the lies and stuff. Now, there are some things that need to be dealt with. there are some issues that need to be dealt with, not only for your sake, but for the sake of the person who perpetrated the crime. Like, for instance, with that 2020 thing, when ABC came out and they just bold-faced lied. Well, they need to be called on the carpet and let them know you just don't do that to the people of God and get away with it. That's all. You know. So that was something we had to deal with. I had to deal with, because it was an unjust situation, and it's something that affects or can affect the entire world. It wasn't anything done in a corner. So there are issues in time when you need to challenge certain things, you know, so that they know you can't just do this indiscriminately and get away with it. It's a price to pay. I don't hold it against them. It's done and over, you know. But they needed to be called on the carpet about it because they were wrong. If it had been just them and me in a closet, that would have been no problem. But when you do this worldwide, then you need to, you know, be called on the carpet for it. All right. Luke chapter 23. Unforgiveness. You still here?
Yes. All right. Praise the Lord.
Luke chapter 23. All right, Luke 23 and verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, just in a general way, all the people have lied on me and talked about me and put my name in a book, so forth, stuff like that. I always tell the Lord, I say, Lord, you know, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because if they knew me, they wouldn't lie like that. You know, so I just stay out of the yard. You know what I'm saying? But it's more than a notion, but it's something we need to learn to do. Now, go to 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 1. You still here? All right, I want to be sure now. We're getting ready to go into a new year. You don't want to drag the old garbage into the new year. Get rid of it, dump it. It's not worth it. I know it was bad. I know they lied. They shouldn't have lied. I know they did what they did, but, you know. And like I said, certain things need to be addressed and corrected. But that doesn't mean you hold something in your heart against. That's not good for you. Okay. All right, 1 John chapter 1. If you have it, say I have it. Very familiar verse. Verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, that's if we do so, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm using this verse because there's a very important aspect of it I want to emphasize. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the most important things that I draw out of that verse that I want you to consider is that while you are in a mode to forgive, be sure you recognize that you need to learn how to forgive yourself. And some, unfortunately, have been carrying a load of unforgiveness in reference to themselves for years. And it can only hinder you. It cannot help you, and it cannot change what occurred 20 years ago, 15 years ago, last week, last month, or 20 years ago. You can't change it. And all you do is poison your own cistern. You, not sister, but cistern. You know what I mean? That's where the water comes up. it's over and done with. You got to forget it and forgive yourself. If you messed up, you just messed up. Fess up and fix up yourself. Turn it over to the Lord and forget it. You got to learn how to forgive yourself. And God doesn't want you, we know that from the scriptures that we've already read, God doesn't want you carrying that load. You're not supposed to punish yourself. You blew it. Admit it, particularly to Him, and if it involves other people, give them the opportunity to forgive, ask them, and if they don't, that's on them, not on you. But you got to learn to forgive yourself. No, you shouldn't have done it. But you did it. It's over and done with. Carrying it, a sense of guilt the rest of your life, is not going to change what happened, as I said, 20 years ago, 18 years ago, whatever it might be. So you got to forgive you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most of the time, this particular verse of Scripture has been used by Christians as a witnessing tool and telling sinners, if you confess your sins, God will save you. Well, that's not true. That's not Bible true. It is, in some cases, denominationally true. In some situations, it's traditionally true. In some situations, it's theologically true, but it's not Bible true, because God does not require you to confess your sins in order to get saved. Because if that were true, then none of us would be saved. What? Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Is there anybody in here today who is at least 15 years old? At least 15. Could be more than 15 years old. Okay. Do you remember 15 years ago on December 30th, 15 years ago, exactly what you were doing at 11:15 a.m.? Well, you may have sinned. And if you don't remember it, you can't confess it. And if you can't confess it, if it takes that for you to get saved, then you're not saved. Knock, knock. Anybody home? No. God requires the sinner to repent. Not to confess the sin, but confess Jesus as Lord. According to Romans 10:9. Repent means turn from it. You've been going south, turn around and go north. That's repent. But you don't have to confess it, because you can't remember everything you were doing 15 years ago. And if you left that one out, you couldn't get saved. Aren't you glad God doesn't require us to confess all that stuff? Amen. Thank God for it. But again, you need to learn how to forgive yourself. Because if you don't, and the only person that doesn't want to receive that is Satan. He wants you to stay sin conscious. Because when you're in a sin conscious mode, your faith will not work. So if he can get you into the past and keep you there, you can't operate in the future in faith. You got to learn how to forgive yourself. And sometimes, see, Satan will play a guilt trip with you. And you know, he'll kind of whisper to you and say, you don't think you're going to get off that easy, do you? See, he wants you to think you're supposed to you know, for the rest of your life over what you did. Hey, it's a done deal. It's already over. God doesn't even remember that you sin once you confess it. And neither should you. Because just again, think about it. Whatever you did, thinking about it now is not going to change what you did 15 years ago. What? Forget it. It's over and done. No, you should not have done it, but you did. So what are you going to do about it? Whine and cry and suffer over it the rest of your life? I thought I had better change that word I was going to use. You know, no, you got to learn to forgive yourself. The thoughts come. I mean, stuff comes to all of us. Nobody's exonerated from it. Satan's constantly barraging us with a barrage of thoughts. And sometimes the thoughts are not always clean. Sometimes the thoughts are not always godly thoughts. Pass them by. Thoughts die unborn if you don't act on them and let them out of your mouth. Amen. Thoughts come, they come to all of us, unless you're brain dead. If you're brain dead, you probably don't get any thoughts. But I mean, all the thoughts that come, they're not godly thoughts always. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You still here?
Yes.
You're okay. Getting anything out of this?
Yes.
All right, well, it's all true. Now, all of you know this verse. 2 Corinthians 5, if you have it, say, I have it. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is based on the Word of God. So when God tells me to forgive, I do it. Like I say, it doesn't take very long to find out that that's a vicious animal. So I don't go in the yard anymore. Yeah, but you know we're supposed to pray for one another. I know it, but I can pray for you from across the street. No, I didn't say that to be funny. It's true. I don't have to get in the yard with you or in the bed either to pray for you. I can pray for you from afar. I'm still fulfilling the scriptural mandate to pray for one another. But I know you bite. You bite. I can't trust you. And I don't like to be bited. I don't like to be bit. You know what I'm talking about. All right, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Unforgiveness. It is not worth it. And see, the thing about it is that once you confess your sin and dealt with the unforgiveness, it's over as far as God is concerned. So don't let Satan play games with your mind, with your head. Because he'll try to bring it up to keep you in a state of guilt. Self-condemnation. That's not what God wants for you. All right. Hebrews chapter 8, if you have it, say, I have it. Look at verse 12. It says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Now, because God is God, based on what we know from the Bible, we can't refute it. But if God, notice it says, I will remember no more. So remembrance is an act of the will. Now, you know God can't forget anything. You know, just ordinarily, God would have to be able to remember everything. But he wills to. Look at this. He said, verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. So that's an act of the will. That's a volitional choice. It's not that he can't remember, you know that, but he wills not to. I will remember no more. We need to learn to do that. The past is the past is the past. That's why it's called the past. Because it's past. Amen. Sometimes things that are so obvious, we overlook them. But you need to forgive yourself. You need to forget about the past. We all agree it shouldn't have happened, but it did. What are you going to do about it? You can't change it. I think it was Billy Graham that said, "You can't unscramble eggs." Think about it. Amen. Too late. It's out of the shell. Nothing you can do about it now. So think about these things. And particularly as we relate to one another, based on what we've read today in the scriptures from the mouth of Jesus himself, from the mouth of Paul, our forgiveness from God is controlled by our forgiveness of one another. So it's just too expensive to not be forgiving. And kind of like with the woman that was caught in adultery. Amen. As though a woman could actually commit adultery without the aid of a partner. You know. I mean, actually the physical act. And so Jesus said to the Pharisees and the religious leaders that brought the accusation against the woman when they said to him, "Well, she was caught in the very act." Jesus said, "Yeah, well, you guys are right. You're right. The law says she should be stoned. So we're going to stone her, in essence. We're going to go ahead and stone her, just like you said, and just like the law says. But I tell you, here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to do it. He that's with, and she that's without sin, you throw the first rock." You throw the first rock. Bible says they start creeping out one by one. So as we go into 2013, as we reflect upon the year 2012, and particularly, I'm kind of zeroing in on recent events, you better drop them. Forget it. Forgive and forget. That's also a volitional choice. You can do that. You can forget if you choose to. Guess what? If you can remember, you can forget. So be sure that you got things straight with the Lord in reference to yourself before you carry any of the garbage into 2013. Best policy is put it all in the garbage disposal. Flush it. Forget it. And let's believe that we'll all do better in the upcoming year. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Nobody moving, nobody leaving. I'm going to pray. Father, I praise and thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is alive, that it is a living thing, that it does not, cannot, and will not return to you void, but it will accomplish your divine and decreed purposes. I thank you that every spiritual need of every person present today under the sound of my voice is in the process of being met and will be met as a result of this service today. And Satan, I serve notice on you and inform you that these proceedings are off limits to you, that you will not and you cannot in any way, form, or fashion stop any person from receiving their spiritual need met in this place today in the name of Jesus. Now, while heads are bowed, please, eyes are closed. Christians are praying and interceding. I have four spiritual invitations that I would like to offer you today for your hearing.